You may be seated. Along with the things said, I welcome you today. We're glad to have you. Encourage you to get your Bible and join in our study as we search the Scriptures. Let me thank Nicholas for his good reading a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 15, where we were introduced to a woman of Canaan who petitioned the Lord, as reported in Matthew 15 and verse 25, "Lord, help me." Our study today centers around those three words. Lord, help me. I want to make the observation, first of all, the fact that she came to the right place for help. You know, sometimes there are those who need help, but they don't get the help they need from the right place or the right person or persons. When she recognized her need for help, she couldn't have gone to any better person or place than the Lord. When she said, "Lord, help me." The one before whom she appeared was the one who made all things. As the book of John chapter 1 affirms, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made." When you study the life of Christ as recorded in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're amazed at His power. How that, as He said in the Galilean mountain, in the book of Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The miracles of Jesus displayed His power over sickness and disease, over unclean spirits, over death itself, over material things, as He multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed multitudes of people, as He stilled storm Galilee. There's no one other to whom we can turn in time of help that can truly help us than the Lord. You realize that human hands can only go so far and do so much. And whether you've reached that point in your life or you've come to that realization or not, you can't live very long on earth and experience the sorrow and the heartache that this world offers and not find yourself in a place somewhere, sometime along life's journey, realizing that there is none other that can truly help me than the Lord. He is the great physician who can do for us what earthly persons cannot. And so I'm impressed with the fact that she came to the right person at the right place for the help that she needed. Lord, help me. Notice also the urgent appeal for assistance as suggested by that word help. Help is the word of one who is drowning. Help, I'm drowning. It shows the urgency of the situation. Help was the cry of many in the Old Testament. Numerous times throughout the Psalms, you find David petitioning the Lord for help. I think about the Macedonian call when there was one who said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." The cry of help. Lord, help me. But notice the fact that this was a petition that was individual in nature. Notice the fact that it was a personal petition. She said, "Lord, help me." Sometimes we do not look upon ourselves as needing help. Maybe when we think about those who need help from the Lord or help in some way, we think of a family member. We might think of him or her or them, but we don't think of ourselves as the object of needing help. I've known of those who have struggled with various things in this life, and they didn't think that they needed any help. And it was sad that they even lost their lives because of the fact that they didn't seek the help that was readily available to them because they didn't think they needed any help. Oh, they would have thought, "Well, this fellow over here, he needs help, or maybe that person back there, they need help, but you know, I don't need that help. I'm not that bad. It's not that severe." And they're not walking among us today because they didn't get the help that they needed. Because they didn't have the, whatever it took, the humility, the recognition of the situation, the respect for the Lord to cry out and say, help me. Help me. And so it's a personal petition for help. And I believe that you and I today would do well to put ourselves in the place of this Canaanite woman, to recognize that we need help that can only come from the Lord. And that ought to be our petition throughout our days here on earth. Lord, help me in so many different areas. And I want to spend the rest of our time just making some application of that, to think about some specific areas in which you and I might say, Lord, help me. With the emphasis on me, like Saul who lay on the road to Damascus trembling, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Me, Lord, help me. Do you need help from the Lord? Could you say today, Lord, help me to know and to understand your will for me. Help me to know. Help me to study. Help me to learn. Help me to read, as Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Help me to take time to read my Bible so that I can understand. Help me, as Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, there are so many people who wander through this earth life not knowing, not understanding what the will of the Lord is. Help me, Lord, to understand. Help me to know. Help me to read. Help me to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Lord, help me to know what it is you'd have me to do. And then have the determination to do it. I believe we see that in Saul when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And his attitude was, whatever the Lord would have him to do, that's what he wanted to do. And when it was pointed out for him what the will of the Lord was, he did it. He was told, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he went. And when a certain disciple named Ananias appeared on the scene, he said, now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He immediately, straightway, was baptized, Acts 9:18. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to know and to understand and then to be determined to do what your will is. Lord, help me to become a servant of yours. Help me to be a Christian. Help me to take those steps that are necessary to be born again, to be a part of your God, your chosen people, as we talked about in our Bible class, the elect, God's chosen people. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Help me to hear the word, as Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when you have the transfiguration scene and Peter and James and John are taken up into a high mountain apart with the Lord, and he's transfigured, and Peter had a good idea. He thought, he said, Lord, let's erect here three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. But God had other plans. While he yet spake, there's a bright cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Help me to do that. Help me to hear Christ. Help me to truly hear and heed the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that he is the prophet raised up like unto Moses in these last days, of whom Moses spake in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Peter, citing that prophecy in Acts chapter 3 and applied it to Jesus. Help me to hear Christ. Help me to believe on him with all of my heart. The miracles of Jesus are recorded to the intent that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20, 30 and 31. Help me to believe. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to believe. Help me to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. As I hear the word of God, help me to believe. For Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. Lord, help me to repent. Another step involved in becoming a child of God. Repentance. Jesus had much to say about that. In Luke 13, 3 and 5, he talked about the uncertainty of the world in which we live. How that there's tragedy. He talked about the tower that fell on some and those that were slain by order of Pilate. Not that they were worse sinners than anybody else, but That's part of the world in which we live. Tragedy is as old as the human family. And he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. He repeated that again in verse 5. And so the fact that we don't know what a day will bring forth, Proverbs 27 verse 1, we need to make our lives right with God. We should be moved and motivated to change from this world, to change from the things of sin to the things of righteousness. Lord, help me to truly repent. It is commanded of all men everywhere to repent. Paul preached in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. That was the basic plea of the prophets of old. Repent. To turn to the Lord. Turn from their evil way. To turn to the Lord. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to repent. Help me to be what you'd have me to be. Help me to put away the things of the flesh, the things of the sinful nature, and help me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to make that confession that is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That confession that the eunuch made in Acts 8 and verse 37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Help me to have the courage to do that. Help me to not be afraid or ashamed to, with my mouth, confess the Lord Jesus. So that the Lord can confess me before the Father. Matthew 10, 32, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Lord, help me to make that confession. Help me. Lord, help me to be baptized. Help me to take that step. As Peter preached in Acts 2 and verse 38, when folks asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to be baptized. Help me to realize that time is of essence. To know and to understand, like in the reading of the book of Acts, that when folks were baptized, they were baptized when they heard the truth and believed it and saw their need for the Lord. Like on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized the same day. With reference to the jailkeeper in Acts chapter 16, he took them the same hour of the night and was baptized. Help me to not allow another hour, another day to pass without making my life right with God. Lord, help me. Help me to become a Christian. To hear the word, to believe it, to repent of my sins, to confess my faith in the Son of God, and to be baptized. Help me to do that. How about, Lord, help me to be a strong, steadfast Christian. You know, it's one thing to become a Christian. It's another thing to be strong and to be steadfast and to be unwavering, to be faithful. You know, one of the outstanding admonitions of Christians as set forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 is when Paul said, be strong. And when he wrote to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need strength. And Lord, help me to be strong. I can't do it by myself. As Paul in Philippians 4 verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength does not come from men. It comes from the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me to be strong. And to be steadfast. Too many are wishy-washy. Can't be depended upon. Help me to be like first century Christians were. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42, when they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread and in prayers. Help me to do that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Help me to be steadfast. Help me, Lord, to be unmovable. Help me to abound always in the work of the Lord. Lord, help me to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. John, the revelator, recorded the words of our Lord, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to be like those in Hebrews chapter 11 who are said to have died in faith. Remember the great heroes of faith from yesterday, the likes of Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and a whole host of others. And it said these all died in faith. Lord, help me to do that. When it comes time for me to go the way of all the earth, that I'll have died in faith. Lord, help me to resist the devil and endure temptation. Is that our plea? Is that our cry? Lord, help me. Temptation is something that you and I face on a daily basis. The devil is real. He is our greatest adversary or enemy. He's opposed to God and all that's good. He's not on our side. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Need to wake up, need to be alert. He said, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you and me. Like the Lord said to Peter, that he'd sift you as wheat. Lord, help me to resist Satan. And Peter gave some good instruction about that. When he said in 1 Peter 5, 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's why it's so important for us to be steadfast. Lord, help me to be steadfast in the faith so I can resist the devil. Help me to not be ignorant of his devices. Help me to recognize that the avenues, the channels of temptation with which he exerts his influence are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. And Lord, help me to endure temptation. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Lord, help me to bear it. Help me to endure it. Help me to find that way of escape. And sometimes flight offers that escape, just like it did for Joseph. When his master's wife said, lie with me, the Bible says he refused and he fled and got him out. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, Paul said, flee fornication. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to escape. Help me to endure. In the book of James in chapter 1, James spoke of temptation in verse 12 when he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lord, help me to not allow this lust to conceive. Help me to not allow, as the book of Ephesians chapter 2 talks about, those desires of the flesh and of the mind to be fulfilled. Lord, help me to resist the devil and to endure temptation, to overcome those snares that or traps that the devil puts out, in that he would seek us as his prey. Lord, help me. How about another area? Lord, help me to be what you'd have me to be in the family. Lord, help me to be the child that I need to be in my family. Help me to be obedient to my parents, to honor my father and my mother, as Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 teaches, that it might be well with me and I may live long on the earth. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to show the kind of respect that my parents are due. It's easy often for young people to obey their parents when the parents suggest something that they want to do, or they would say not to do some things they really don't want to do anyway. Not too difficult to submit, to obey. But when the parent points out some things not to do that you really want to do, or to do some things that you just would rather not do, then that's when the true spirit of obedience is put to the test, isn't it? It's not that we just obey and we submit when they call upon us to do things that we want to do, but we honor and obey our parents at all times, in all circumstances. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to requite my parents. You know, our parents are worthy of that. Think of all they've done for us in helping us to be where we are and who we are. And there comes a time when they can't do for themselves things at one time we were unable to do for ourselves. And we were dependent upon them in so many ways. And now they're dependent upon us. Lord, help me Help me to understand. Help me to be sympathetic. Help me to be there in their time of need, to requite them. Lord, help me to be the kind of child that you have me to be in the family. Lord, help me to be the kind of husband and father that you'd have me to be. Help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for, to nourish and to cherish her, to honor her, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels. Peter talked about it, 1 Peter chapter 3. Lord, help me. Help me to do that. Help me to recognize her needs. Help me to understand her desires and her wants and her wishes, and to be sympathetic. Help me to be the kind of husband that you'd have me to be, the kind of father that you'd have me to be, to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help me to train up my children the way they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. There's a lot of responsibility that rests upon us as fathers. Help me to be the spiritual leader that I need to be in my home and family. Like Abraham, who commanded his children, his household, that they would keep the way of the Lord. Help me to be like Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Help me to do that. Help me to have that kind of faith and that kind of courage, that regardless of what others may or may not do, I've made up my mind. Here's what we're going to do. Help me to do that. As a wife, as a mother, you might say, Lord, help me. Help me to be the kind of wife that I need to be. To recognize that God created woman for the man as a help meet, suitable companion, Genesis 2. God saw that it was not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him. Help me to be that help meet to my husband, a helper suited to his needs. Help me to recognize how I can do that. Help me to love him. Titus 2 finds Paul giving instruction to Titus concerning all ages, aged men, young men, aged women, young women, how that the aged women are to teach the young women to love their husbands and love their children. Help me to do that. Help me to be, as a wife and mother, what you'd have me to be in the home. Help me. And I believe that as the Lord gave the help that this woman needed, if you'll, as a woman, come to the Lord recognizing your need for the Lord and the help that he's able to provide, that he'll grant that assistance. If you'll say, Lord, help me be the kind of wife and mother that I need to be. Help me to love my children. Help me to recognize, as is the mother, so is her daughter. That as the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, the position, the influence that I can have. Help me to be a Lois and Eunice. Help me to be a person of unfeigned faith, and that to be in my son, in my grandson. Help me. While there are a number of other areas we could explore, let's think about a couple of others. Lord, help me to forgive. How about that? Lord, help me to forgive. That's sometimes difficult to do, isn't it? Things maybe a person has said or done that just, they hurt. And some of the things spoken, you realize words that come out of the mouth are like arrows shot from a bow and inflict deep penetrating wounds, and sometimes those are long in healing. Some leave effects you just never quite fully recover from. And there's some word that pierces you through and through. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Help me to have the courage to say, I forgive you. Realizing in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, that if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And I know I need God's forgiveness. How about you? And so I need to be free with my forgiveness of others. Lord, help me to forgive others. When the apostle in Colossians chapter 3 talked about those risen with Christ, he said in verse 13, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Help me to do that. And then finally, Lord, help me to say I have sinned as a Christian. Help me to say I have sinned. You know, some are like the Pharisee rather than the publican at the temple when they went to pray. Remember the difference, Luke 18? The Pharisee smoked, remember, he boasted of the things that he did, and he said, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And he began to be critical of others. You can see him almost pointing the finger at that publican. He said, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, even as this publican. I'm glad I'm not like him. We act as if we've never done anything wrong, and we're glad we're not like other people. Kind of a holier-than-thou attitude. Lord, help me not to be like that. Help me to be like the publican who would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, help me to have the humility to recognize that. To be like the prodigal, who in Luke chapter 15, after he left his home, left his father's blessings, wasted his inheritance in riotous living. He got to such a low point in his life that he was eating what the hogs were eating. He's out there at the pig pen, and he came to himself, and he remembered how good it was back home. The Bible says he came to himself, and he had this intention, I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned. Taking a great deal of courage and humility to do that, wasn't it? He didn't just have those good intentions. He carried those out. He went home. And he came to his father and he said, Father, I have sinned. You know, the outstanding thing about that is that the father was looking for him. He saw him while he was afar off, a great way off. He's waiting for him to come home, wasn't he? And what's going to be the attitude, the reaction of the father? What's life going to be like? Now, would he say, get back there to the pig pen, that's where you belong. You don't have any place here at our table. Could have done that, couldn't he? But he didn't. He said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Kill the fatted calf. There was rejoicing. They were made merry, weren't they? Because the lost was found. This my son was dead and is alive again. Lost and is now found. That well represents your condition, my condition. When we leave the Lord and we go back into a life of sin, we've taken our journey into a far country. Lord, help me to say, I have sinned. And help me to not be like the elder brother in that story, who acted like he had never transgressed the Father's commandment. And it's critical of his brother, hypercritical, self-righteous. Help me to be like the Father and to have an atmosphere where when an individual needs help and is calling for help and crying for help, that we recognize that the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Help us to embrace people with the love of Jesus, to show them the compassion, that he showed this compassion, plea and cry for help. Lord, help me. And I believe that you provide through his word that he'll help us. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? Can you put yourself in the place of this woman today who had the courage, you had the humility, who was unashamed to come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Perhaps you stand before the Lord today as one in need of help. Help that only he can provide. Living below in this old sinful world, to whom shall we go? Like the question, when there were many who walked no more with the Lord, and he turned to his disciples and said, Will ye also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? There is no other place we can go. There is none other to whom we can turn than to the Lord. And if we can help you in any way spiritually, making your life right with God, to be what God would have you to be. If we can pray for you, as brethren often did in the New Testament, as we're taught to do, to show the same care one for another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5, verse 16. We're here to do that. If you'll have the humility to say, Lord, help me. Help us here. Won't you come while we stand and sing the song?